it started in here.
I won't let you down. I will not give you up. Gotta have some faith in the sound. It's the one good thing that I've got. I won't let you down. So please don't give me up. Cause I would really, really love to stick around. Oh yeah.
Can you dig it?
News Talk AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. Welcome to your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew. Good morning, John. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning.
Just over here trying to undo my whiteness.
Well,
it might take a while.
There's a class for that. You can't just do it on your own.
Apparently not.
Yeah, there's a whole course study. There's a syllabus.
I don't know about Drew.
It's homework.
I don't know about Sam.
But get rid of all your mirrors.
I'm getting pretty darn tired of people telling me how to go and live my life. And telling me that I'm an awful person for being white and using styrofoam cups. Let me just tell you, I'm getting over it.
Yeah. Tell you what.
Enough already. Why don't you take care of yourself?
If there is any merit to this idea, this narrative that there's a rising tide of white supremacy, which I don't buy.
There's not.
I don't
no,
buy.
There's not.
So let me state that up front.
Sure.
But if there is any merit to it whatsoever, don't you think that you have to look at least some of it as a reaction to all of the disparaging comments that are made about white people?
Sure.
You know, I mean, because that's a natural that's a natural human reaction for some people.
No, I'll give you that.
You tell me that there's something about me that I can't control, that I can't change, that makes me inherently bad, that because of some aspect of my identity, because of the sins of the past, that I am somehow a bad person. Some people are going to double down on that. Or some people are going to say, fine, if that's what you think, then I'm going to be what you say I am.
What we're talking about is in the 8 o'clock hour, we've got a couple of different articles. One, there's this ridiculous story out of Seattle of a woman that has a yoga class where you can do yoga and undo your whiteness apparently at the same time. I don't know how that works. Also,
that is like the whitest thing.
Because it doesn't.
It's like the whitest thing ever.
Also, there's an editorial from a group of individuals defending the segregated meetings inside of the Minneapolis city government that we're going to get to. And on today's show, David Gartenstein Ross will be joining us, talking a bit of ISIS, talking a bit of social networking at 7:35. And Jesse Kelly will be joining us, our fellow iHeartRadio host, Twitter provocateur, at 8:35 this morning. We'll talk a little tired. Joe Biden and then Japan and the high heels controversy, which we'll dive into with. We'll wait for that one with Jesse. To what you were saying, though, I agree, but I look at it from this standpoint. If there is an issue of, and what they point out in these articles is white supremacy and the rise of white supremacy and whiteness and all this nonsense, regardless of, well, let me not even say that. Address the issues when they occur. It's this macro versus micro level view of this whole thing. They want to treat it at the macro level. Like we can just, like everybody has to undo it. Every white person needs to go and deal with this. And that's simply just not true. Right? Racist people need to deal with it.
Right.
People who act inappropriately need to deal with it. So deal with it like we used to on a case-by-case individual basis. But there's no good way to push an agenda and to grab power by doing it that way. So instead, they paint with the broadest of brushes, and suddenly now you, me, and Sam all are supposed to feel guilty because of the color of our skin.
Yeah, there's something tribal inside every one of us. You know, like every human being has the desire to be part of a tribe, and part of being part of a tribe is looking at other tribes and saying, well, they're bad because, you know, it's like our tribe, I'm in the right tribe, and there's something wrong with every other tribe. And right now we're in this little time in history where it's like okay to hate white people. You know, right. Everybody's gotten into this one tribe, and they're all, and that tribe is really racist towards white people.
Like super racist.
And then a bunch of white people are coming along because they're, you know, they're guilty liberals, and like, yeah, we're terrible. I'm going to do a yoga class and teach everybody how to undo their terrible whiteness.
Well, and it's a great example of the cyclical nature of things, because as we've talked about, and as we'll continue to get into, we were doing and had been doing a pretty good job of including everybody, and we put laws in place because of horrible mistakes that were made in the past, and there were generations raised on the idea that you don't judge individuals, you know, based on the color of their skin. You judge them based off the content of their character, and we made sure to include more individuals in meetings and groups and movies and all that kind of stuff. And so that whole tribe idea, right? We had done a pretty good job of dismantling that a bit because we had people around us that didn't look like us, and we were attempting to go and treat everybody equally unless you were, you know, unless you showed some reason for somebody to not like you. But we're on the other side of that now. That has completely shifted. And now, Drew, you're 100% right. We're in this place where suddenly, and the thing that's lost on me, that's amazing, is like how, like the Star Tribune reprinted, or it didn't reprint, they put out this editorial defending these segregated meetings inside the Minneapolis, you know, city council inside of Minneapolis government. I'm like upset that they did that. Why did you do that? You could not swap out that article. You swap out whiteness with any other demographic, there's no way on God's green earth they would have reprinted it. There's no way they would have put it out there.
Of course not.
If it had made a black person or a homosexual person or a Muslim person or an Asian person, my gosh.
That'd be horrible. And if this Seattle yoga teacher offered an undoing blank class that it was anything other than whiteness, let's undo your blackness.
Yeah.
Let's undo your gain. I thought conversion therapy was wrong.
I'm uncomfortable just hearing you say that.
I know. Should be. Not a good thing to say.
Right. No, it isn't.
if I do something wrong, then tell me I did something wrong. Right? If I go and act inappropriately, tell me how I'm acting inappropriately. If I've offended you, then tell me I've offended you. If I've acted in any way, shape, or form as a racist, then just tell me I'm a racist and give me an example. But the other day, you and I were both commenting on the thread over the Cheers LGBT restaurant and or that bar and all the controversy around the comments that guy had made. And somebody popped in there and just straight up called you a bigot.
Yep.
And I responded, I'm like, please, by all means, provide one example of Drew ever acting bigot-esque.
I invoked the name of Ilhan Omar in a critical manner, and I'm white. That's all it takes.
Yeah, it is.
That's
all it took.
You're a white person, and you criticized a person of color. And
you're a bigot.
The merit or nature of the criticism is irrelevant. Just the fact that you did it.
You know,
makes you a bigot.
We need to go back to. I wasn't enjoying it, but maybe I need it now. That music that you were playing when you arrived. He walked in playing that. It was weird banjo cover.
It's probably called bluegrass.
I don't know what it was, but I know in the middle of doing my undoing whiteness notes, he was playing it. Now I'm thinking maybe it's just what we need to get things.
What is that?
It's a bluegrass cover of Blue Da Boudie.
All right, I take it back. You do need to undo your whiteness. Sam, how is
Yeah, Drew, you're, Drew, you know, you're just a little too white.
That's a little too white right there. That's what. Sam, how's the scouring been going?
It'd be going better if it had a bluegrass cover, but you know, it's okay.
You know what? We'll do Sam's top five to bluegrass music.
You deserve the truth.
Justice and Drew here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. 103.5 FM, getting ready to dive headfirst into Sam's top five this morning. I just emailed you both a link to a story real quick. This is pretty cool. Live Science, they made artificial intelligence listen to people's voices, and then the AI went and generated what the AI thought their faces looked like.
What?
Did they get close?
Actually, on a couple of these, you can see the photograph in the email that I said. It actually did come out pretty close. Some of them more than others. I just found it. I thought it was fascinating because of how often you, not so much anymore because of, you know, just the ability to go online and stalk somebody, but how when you hear somebody and you speak to somebody for a long time and never see what they look like, you know, especially at radio, you get that a lot. I've never seen your face before. You sound nothing what you look like, or you sound exactly what you look like. Mm-hmm. You know, I just thought that was really interesting. But the AI did a pretty decent job.
Did a really decent job. It's kind of creepy looking at these pictures, and just they are super close.
I've had, years ago during the dark years when I was working in real estate, we had to call in to the sales center in a different part of the state where we worked.
Sure.
And there was this one girl, Ruby, who I spoke to like on a daily basis and probably like a year, and had no idea what she looked like. And like over that long, I mean, that long a period of time, the mental image of what I had created in my head of what this person looked like, it was like when I finally met them face to face, it was the most awkward encounter I'd ever had in my life.
Oh, well, I've had that with radio hosts that I've met.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people that I've listened to for a long time. I remember the first time I met Bill Handel, big fan of Bill Handel. Mm-hmm. He hosts the morning show out in Los Angeles. KFI has a weekend show on this station, Handel on the Law. I've been listening to him, I don't know, I mean, since the late 90s, I mean, he's been doing this Handle on the Law show. And I finally had an opportunity to meet him a few years ago. And I never even bothered to look up what he looks like on the internet.
Yeah.
Like, I've never occurred to me to, like, follow him on social media or anything like that. And I had a distinct image in my head and went and had dinner with him and spent the whole evening like, I'm not sure who I'm talking to.
Right. This is not,
this is nothing like I expected.
It's so confusing.
Yeah. And then once you meet somebody, you can't undo, I couldn't undo your voice to you at all. Like, your voice is distinctively Drew, your voice is distinctively Sam. Like, you couldn't, maybe we can undo our whiteness, but we can't undo our vocal patterns.
This segment of Justice and Drew's powered by our friends over at Early Word Electric. It's time for Sam's Top 5 for a Wednesday.
Number 1.
Joe Biden has promised to cure cancer if he's elected president.
I hope that he like runs with this and just starts saying like all these things he's going
to
do.
He was supposed to do that while Obama was president.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't. That's
what happened.
But true, if he's president.
It is hard.
It's hard to cure cancer.
It's not easy. No. If it was easy, somebody would have done it by now.
Seriously.
But you guys, he promised.
Yeah, he promised.
See, that was Obama's moonshot.
Yep.
It was a State of the Union a few years ago. He turned all back to creepy Uncle Joe and was like, hey, you got to cure cancer. And Joe was like, what?
Huh? He woke up and was like, what?
I got to do what?
And Sam, this serves as the example of why my wife Melinda says you should never make promises. Because of stuff like this.
From Fox News, former Vice President Joe Biden referenced Charlottesville and morality in a speech to supporters in Iowa.
He's got nothing. Charlottesville is to Joe Biden what Amy Klobuchar's dad is to her. They can't let those stories go. It's all they got to run on.
He also, in that speech in Iowa, made a bold promise to cure cancer if he's elected president in 2020.
He's the front runner. Usually that's like something that, you know, if you're like Gillibrand. Yeah. I could see her right now going, no, seriously, guys, I'm going to cure cancer.
I'm going to cure it.
Klobuchar, like, you know, he's one of these people that's polling at like 0 or 1 or 2%. He's the front runner. He doesn't have to go around making promises that he's not going to keep.
Well, Amy's got a binder full of cures. So.
He expressed the difficulty one faces with the loss of a family member and others attempt to comfort them, saying, I know how you feel, when in reality they have no idea how you feel in that situation, which was likely in reference to the loss of his son, Beau Biden, who died in 2015 from brain cancer. Biden declared in this speech,
I promise you, if I'm elected president, you're going to see the single most important thing that changes America is we're going to cure cancer.
And then the crowd went wild.
I'll tell you what. If he could, I'd vote for him.
Yeah, if he could guarantee
sure. I'd be worth it.
Sure. Four years of Biden as president.
To cure cancer? Yeah.
That's a trade-off I'd be comfortable with.
Sure.
If I could get a 100% guarantee.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Right, but he's got to be like, the cure's in this briefcase.
Yeah,
right. Right here. I'm holding it yes! in my hand.
Yes!
I will only open this briefcase if you guys vote for me as president, which would kind of make him a D.
That would totally right, make him right. a D.
Because if you've got the cure for cancer, yeah. but you're withholding it,
yeah.
wait, because, you know, yeah. to telling the American people, but you got to make me president first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm going to take this cancer cure, and I'm just going to go back home and fire shotguns out in the air.
He'd basically be no better than the Autobots when they showed up in Chicago after the Decepticons and Dark of the Moon just murdered a whole bunch of people, and then we showed up now to prove a point. You know, that basically would be Joe Biden. But you're right. He right. would need the briefcase with it. And he'd all, in my, for me, he would also need the people who had been cured and then also sort of the certificate of authenticity.
Right. Yeah. I want some proof.
I want some proof.
Well, here's the thing. Like, you don't have to be president.
To keep, right.
No,
yeah.
There's no like, man, if only a president would do that. Nobody's ever thought that. Nobody's ever, man, if only we would elect someone who would cure cancer. You don't have to, you have the means, Joe Biden, and the influence and the money and the platform and the podium and the pedestal and all of those things. You have everything that you need right now. If you indeed know how what needs to happen for cancer to be cured, there's nothing stopping you.
Yeah, so basically what he's saying, because he's been to the White House already, that Obama didn't.
Right.
Yeah, so I know how to do it. Obama refused not to cure cancer, but I will go ahead and unlock the safe yeah.
Remember that time Obama said I was going to cure cancer? Well, yeah. you know, I just need 4 more years.
Yeah, I just need to be president. 4 more years. That's right.
And then, yeah, oh my gosh.
It's a ridiculous thing for him to say. I mean, all due respect to the loss of the family member, and I know that his desire there comes from a very genuine place. I don't question that for a moment, but it's a ridiculous thing to promise based on a presidential election. We'll continue with
103.5 FM.
Coming up here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM, Justice and Drew. More of Sam's Top 5, and then right around 7 o'clock, we'd have some audio from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wanting a pay raise. She dumb.
And her rationale.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just offensive.
Speaking of offensive, it's all about Ilhan Omar right before that, right around 7 o'clock this morning. Star Tribune! Whew! You know she's in trouble now. Nick Zerwas tweeted this out, and I couldn't have agreed more that, you know, if you've lost the Star Tribune, then you're in some trouble.
Yeah, if the editorial board turns on a Democrat, turns dun, on dun, a DFLer,
dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, things are getting bad. But we did leave off in the midst of Sam's Top 5, powered by Early Bird Electric.
Number 2.
Former U.S. Representative Jason Lewis Ooh. Is considering running for office again.
I've heard that name.
I think he has a moment on our show.
Sounds really familiar.
7:35
usually. Very familiar name.
Talks to us on Mondays right around 8:35.
Yeah, he didn't tell us anything about this.
Serious. Yeah. Oh, he texted me earlier.
What?
Yeah, he's been asking my opinion about the whole issue.
What?
Yeah, he's wanting to know. He said he wasn't going to make a decision until I weighed in.
John's actually going to be a campaign advisor.
Yeah. He's got to have your number confused with someone else.
Yeah, yeah. No, I told him I would give him my opinion as soon as he finished my book. He's got to read it first and then write a positive review.
From the Pioneer Press, Jason Lewis said he is considering another run for Minnesota's 2nd Congressional District seat or challenging Democratic U.S. Senator Tina Smith next year.
Wait, is she still serving?
Who? Man, I haven't even heard that name in such a long time.
Who is that?
What is she up to?
What is she doing?
Is she
I never know what she's
anything?
Doing over there. But seriously,
we have like two completely absent senators.
Well, you know, Tina Smith doesn't want to diminish the beautiful, bright, shining star that is Amy Klobuchar and her presidential run. You know, it's like this is Amy's time in the spotlight, y'all. Come on,
Klobuchar, you are my shining star. Don't you go. a little yacht rock for your Wednesday morning.
In case you haven't heard, Jason Lewis is a longtime conservative radio commentator.
What?
No.
Surprise!
I would have heard about that.
What?
I know someone would have told me if that were true.
He served one term in the U.S. House of Representatives in 2017 to 2018 and lost a re-election bid to Democratic Angie Craig last year, but we really just won't talk about that. In an interview on Tuesday, he said national Republican leaders are encouraging him to run for both seats.
I bet they are.
Yeah.
Begging.
Wait, can he run for both seats?
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Just you run for both.
I'm fine with that.
If you win both, you choose which one you want.
It's more work, but I'm sure he'd be down with it.
He plans to make a decision on his political future by early fall, and he said that his third
option, told me. Yeah.
His third option is to return to his previous career as a radio commentator.
Wait, what?
Better hope he's not vying for the morning slot, you guys.
Shut up, Sam.
What are you doing?
I can produce for Jason. What are you
doing? I hear that he's a closet socialist. You should see the things that he's texted me. It's very, you know, I said, don't tell anybody. That Bernie guy's got it going on.
This AOC has some good ideas.
Yes. He's been giving them to her.
Well, before then, you can hear him right here on Twin Cities News Talk, right. AM 1130, 103.5 FM, every Monday, or 7:35 for the Minnesota Moment.
That's right. 7:35 and 4:30 every day.
And 4:30 every day.
Yeah. As much as I appreciate and like having Jason Lewis as a part of this station and a part of what we do here, and would certainly be more than thrilled to have him, you know, come into the fold even more. I do hope he runs again. He got swept up in the whole anti-Trump, indivisible, blah 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 hysteria. And if I can think of any Republican representative on any level that got swept up in it that deserved it less, it would be Jason Lewis. His time in Congress, he was effective. He wasn't working on like firebrand controversial issues. No. He wasn't doing a bunch of symbolic bills trying to make a point. He wasn't rushing out to try to get every media hit he could get. He went there to do the work, and he did the work. He was a very effective, hardworking congressman who championed important issues, bipartisan issues. And I think, you know, Congress needs more people like Jason Lewis in it, and I would be thrilled if he decided to run again, and he should win.
Run! I just know what else I was saying. I don't have nothing to say. I just agree, and there's nothing else that I can say. No, we need. I guess the only point I would make, and just to reiterate, we need more people like him serving. He is the embodiment of sort of the best of both worlds when it comes to somebody who has the opportunity to serve in office, especially because of the fact that he's got his background in talk radio, and I think he got a lot of heat for that, certainly coming from the left. But the reality is, no, I think that actually is something that he can sort of wear on his wear as a badge of honor. There's a lot that you learn doing this job, and it gets you in constant contact with the public that you want to be serving, and he's also been there, so he knows how it works. So yeah, run.
I know there's a lot of critics, you know, of Jason Lewis, a lot of people that listen to the show that never miss an opportunity to tweet something negative about Jason Lewis. And I would just ask you, point to one thing he did while in Congress that was so egregious that he should never serve again. He shouldn't even bother running. You can't do it. You simply can't do it.
Number three.
A hashtag impeach Trump day of action is planned for Saturday. It's expanded greatly in the past week, with 133 events now set around the nation to call for House impeachment hearings against President Trump.
Yeah, and I want 133 individual interviews from every single event with a camera in their face, and just say on what grounds. Ask every just on what grounds?
Orange man bad.
Yeah, beyond that,
Orange
I want to
so
know
bad.
On what grounds? What law has he broken? What is your reason for wanting to impeach him? Besides the fact that he beat Hillary Clinton.
The best part of waking up is knowing Hillary lost to Trump.
And then
yes, it is.
Follow up that question with, why do you want President Pence so bad?
Right.
Right. I just feel like there's no like looking into the future, what it would actually look like to impeach Trump. They're not thinking about that.
Do you think President Pence, when it comes to actual, you know, agenda items, policy things, you know, ideological advancement, do you think President Pence, if you're a far left liberal, is going to be better or worse than Trump? If you're a far left liberal, you're going to like Pence less.
From the Washington Examiner, organizers said that the number of events grew from 75 last week to 133 today. Several groups are involved, including Indivisible, Move On, By the People, and nearly 20 others.
Cool. Yeah, cool. Cool. It's all the, yeah. Boy, I'm so, like, surprised that you, that those groups are going to be involved in this. And, boy, I was really hoping for their votes to go President Donald Trump's way in this next election. Right? Awesome.
Anybody going to these things weren't going to, they're not, like, on the fence. You know, some of the events are going to be simple protests, and others will include the reading of pro-impeachment speeches from Democrats, including Senator Elizabeth Warren and Minnesota Representative Rashida Tlaib. That's not correct. The Washington Examiner got that wrong. I assume that they meant Ilhan Omar.
That's not accurate.
Yeah. I read that as written by the Washington Examiner.
I'm sure it was. I had to do a mental double check. Did we adopt her at some point?
Yeah. I know. I got scared for a moment.
From
the Washington Examiner, they're getting the facts wrong. I assume that if they are talking about a Minnesota representative, they're talking about Ilhan Omar.
Yeah. They either that or they just messed up the state. They could have been talking about Tlaib.
Yeah, you know what? We've got enough going on with Ilhan Omar and everybody. We don't need her to.
She's Michigan, right?
Yeah.
Which would be an easy mistake. So.
Exactly.
Because they're both M states.
M-I even.
Oh, I'd say M-I too. Yeah, that's right.
But it's not that. It's still. It's so easy to Google. House Democratic leaders have skirted direct talk about impeachment, angering the progressive left. The protests are aimed at giving the public a greater voice in the process, according to organizers.
Yeah, it's the horrible leading the stupid, right?
Yeah.
The heads of indivisible moveon.org by the people, blah, blah, blah. Look, they all know the reality, right? One, they know there's probably not a lot of grounds to go and impeach Trump. And even if they did, I think most of the people that would take part in these events encouraged by these groups are probably under the false impression that if he's impeached, that he's no longer president. Because I think they're too stupid to go and
they
look
don't
at
understand.
Yeah, as a reason why to impeach him or what impeachment actually means. And I would bet you anything, if you did those on the spot interviews with the people attending these ridiculous rallies. And by the way, the 133, is there any accounting for what constitutes a rally? Right? Is it like three dudes?
Is it like people in somebody's living room?
Yeah. Right.
Hang on. Impeach, impeach,
is
impeach.
Is it that guy who keeps jumping off of his porch onto sharp objects to promote his YouTube page and like a crowd that gathers around him? I'm doing this for impeachment. Yeah. Ah, you know, whatever.
What constitutes a rally?
Well, Speaker Nancy Pelosi did weigh in. She said on Tuesday that House Democrats are not even close to backing an impeachment inquiry into President Trump.
You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know it by watching cable news. You wouldn't know. You would think impeachment is impending any day now based on cable news and based on all these commentators, because that's all they talk about. They went from talking about nothing but Russia, Russia, Russia to impeachment, impeachment, impeachment. You talk about, you know, an outlet that is so out of touch with what's really going on.
Yeah,
you would think they're on the verge of impeachment at any moment.
No, they're treating it like that Malaysian airline, that MH370 that disappeared. They don't let it go. You would have thought after the Mueller report, they would have been like, okay, peace out. But it's like suddenly the Mueller report came out, found no evidence of collusion, and now they're pushing for impeachment even harder. It's ridiculous.
People are idiots.
Number 4.
Trump says he received a new letter from Kim Jong-un from the Hill.
It's nice. He's got a pen pal.
He's like the last one.
President Trump said yesterday that he received a beautiful letter from North Korean leader Kim Jong-un amid their apparent impasse on nuclear talks. He called the letter very warm and very nice, and he expressed confidence the two sides could eventually reach an agreement.
Now, when he says beautiful, is he talking about like the parchment? Was there decoration on it?
Like the penmanship?
Yeah.
It was just aesthetically pleasing.
Did he put like little stickers on it?
You know? Little heart stickers and star stickers. Yeah.
Does Kim Jong-un write in calligraphy?
Trump told reporters as he departed the White House for a trip to Iowa.
I just received a beautiful letter from Kim Jong-un. I can't show you the letter, obviously, but it was a very personal, very warm, very nice letter. I appreciate it. And I'll say it again. I think that North Korea has tremendous potential, and he'll be there. I think that North Korea, under his leadership, but North Korea, because of what it represents, the people are great, the land is great, the location is incredible between Russia, China, and South Korea. I think North Korea has tremendous potential. And the one that feels that more than anybody is Kim Jong-un. He gets it.
Location, location, location. It's great. It's beautiful.
That's Trump.
Put a resort there. It'd be wonderful.
That's Trump, you know, trying to make this work. That's Trump knowing Kim Jong-un is going to hear that.
Yep.
And I know and I've seen already the pushback and the criticism of you're talking about a dictator. He's horrible. And Kim Jong-un is. But the planet would benefit if we can get North Korea under control. And you're not going to do that with a bunch of fiery words. You can do that via strength.
Yep.
But when you've got an opportunity here, and if Kim Jong-un is actually reaching out to Trump, then this is Trump going, all right, this is my public deal making. I'm going to prop this guy up as best I can to try to just keep him at the table with us.
Trump is set to travel to Asia later this month. He's going to attend the Group of 20 summit in Japan and meet with South Korean President Moon Jae-in. Negotiations over the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula have hit a standstill after Trump and Kim's second face-to-face summit ended abruptly and without a formal agreement earlier this year. But with this beautiful letter, maybe things will work out after all.
Maybe so. Sometimes a beautiful letter is all it takes to repair a damaged relationship.
Coming up, we will wrap up Sam's top five, and then we will dive into Ilhan Omar. A couple different articles, 7 latest takeaways, and the Star Tribune actually criticizing her, Ilhan Omar, for some of the recent allegations against her and her tax IRS.